Well, this is a tricky topic to cover because I've always wanted peace in the Middle East, obviously, and elsewhere around the world. But I've said that Trump should just declare victory and walk away. And, just bring the soldiers home, invest in America, let Israel fight its own wars. And it appears that's exactly what Trump is gearing up to do. Although this so-called memorandum of understanding that's being widely touted in the press is not going to be signed until this Friday. And obviously, a lot can happen between now and Friday, and it's very clear that all of the Zionists in America, the Mark Levins and Ben Shapiros and so on, are going to be hammering hard, hard, hard to try to get Trump to back away from his what appears to be his commitment to this memorandum of understanding that actually appears to be a complete capitulation to the demands of Iran. Now, it's also clear that Netanyahu wants no part of this, and he does not want this to happen, and that for the next 5 days, without any question whatsoever, Israel and Netanyahu are going to be doing everything in their power to sabotage this deal. Or at least, we can't really call it a deal because it's not actually a deal. It is an understanding, an agreement to talk, like an agreement to negotiate. So anybody calling it a deal is incorrect. It's not a deal. It's a memorandum of understanding to have a framework to hold negotiations for the following 60 days. But that gives Netanyahu 60 days to run false flag operations, to sabotage the deal, to pressure Trump, to even maybe the Zionists will threaten Trump. I mean, I think that's already happened, actually. But you're going to see the Zionists in the U.S. going absolutely bonkers and saying this is a complete surrender to Iran. So let's talk about this framework and what it contains. And then I'll give you my predictions, which is actually fairly easy. I predict that between now and Friday, Israel will sabotage the deal and Trump will be pressured into reversing course, and then he'll find some reason to blame Iran, probably because of Israel launching a false flag attack on some other Gulf state nation. They'll blame it on Iran, and then Trump will say, well, Iran, they violated the deal, and thus we have to return to the war. Okay? So that's almost certain to happen. There is a near 0% chance that this will result in lasting peace. But it's not absolutely zero. There's some chance, so let's look at what this actually says. So first of all, Trump says there's going to be the toll-free passage of ships through the Strait of Hormuz, and that the strait will open apparently immediately upon the signing, or within 30 days, I'm sorry, of the signing of this memorandum of understanding. But what does toll-free mean? So, as it turns out, Iran is going to charge something. They just won't call it a toll. They will call it a security fee, an insurance fee, an environment fee, a resort fee, like whatever they want to call it. Climate fee. I mean, call it anything you want as long as it's not a toll. All right. The deal leaves Iran in charge of the Strait of Hormuz. That's huge. That is essentially a U.S. surrender to Iran. Because remember, before, what was it, February 28th, was it? Before February 28th, when this war started, because Trump started it, the Strait of Hormuz was not under the control of Iran. It was wide open. Nobody was charging a toll. Anybody could sail ships through. That ended immediately, and now at the end of this, Trump is apparently agreeing that Iran will remain in control over the Strait of Hormuz, apparently in perpetuity. Now, Marco Rubio says we can't allow that because if Iran charges tolls in the Strait of Hormuz or whatever they want to call them, climate fee, That would be the ultimate joke, by the way, just call it a climate fee. If Iran charges tolls there, then according to Marco Rubio, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, then lots of other countries around the world would begin charging tolls to pass through other straits. I don't know, the Strait of Gibraltar, right? Or the Strait of Malacca. But isn't there already a toll to pass through the Suez Canal or the Panama Canal? I'm sure there are tolls to pass through other places. So it's not like we've never seen tolls before. And frankly, as long as the toll is reasonable, which let's say, I don't know, $1 per barrel of oil or something, that's not going to raise your gas prices more than, you know, like 2 cents a gallon or something. That's nothing compared to how much the federal government's charging you on federal highway taxes, or the state of California, how much they're charging you. If you're listening in California, you're paying way more to Governor Newsom than you would be paying to Iran, even if Iran charged $1 a barrel. But anyway, Trump says there's going to be no tolls. Okay, fine. Well, it'll just be called something else. All right. Isn't that interesting? There will be, apparently, what's being reported from Iran is that there will be $300 billion in reconstruction grants and commitments and funding from the United States and its allies. $300 billion in reconstruction, you know, for all the damage that the U.S. and Israel committed against Iran. And yet Trump says that no money will change hands. But Iran says not only will $300 billion in reconstruction funds be flowing our way, but also $24 billion in frozen funds, that is Iran's own money, has to be released. And half of that, $12 billion, has to be released before Friday. Otherwise, the whole thing is off. So how is Iran going to get $12 billion before Friday if Trump says no money is changing hands? The answer is simple. Trump will have the $12 billion sent to Iran through someone else. Kind of the same way that Obama laundered billions of dollars to Iran and just put cash on pallets and flew it into Tehran and unloaded it off of a military cargo plane. By the way, Obama's numbers, those were rookie numbers compared to what Trump is about to hand Iran. And of course, you know, Iran deserves to have reparations because Iran didn't start the war. The U.S. started the war. So it's actually the U.S. responsibility. I mean, not that I want to put taxes on you and I. We pay enough taxes already. But maybe this should come out of Trump's pockets, huh? He's the one who started it. Or maybe Israel should cover half of this or something. But anyway, $12 billion is going to be released to Iran by Friday, or the whole deal is off. Wow, okay. The U.S. says it's going to lift its entire naval blockade within 30 days, and that the U.S. will withdraw from, quote, around Iran. Now, that hasn't been defined. What does that mean? How far around Iran? You know, does that include Bahrain? Does that include Kuwait? Does that include, you know, the UAE? Or what about the Arabian Sea? Does it include, you know, what's the radius of the word around Iran? See, that's the question, and as far as I know, that hasn't been discussed. But if the U.S. ends its naval blockade, then that's, again, a surrender to Iran. That's a total surrender to Iran. But it's also being reported by some channels that the U.S. claims it's going to end its naval blockade, but it's still going to halt ships that it suspects of carrying weapons from China. So when you interdict ships and board ships to inspect them, that's actually called a blockade, by the way. So apparently we're going to have the first non-blockade blockade. Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Just like we're going to have also a non-peace peace, probably, and a non-ceasefire ceasefire. Or a non-ceasing ceasefire, because that's what we've had for quite a long time now. All right. Clause number 9 of this agreement, I'm skipping over some of them. Clause number 9, at least as it's being reported from Iran, is that Iran says that it will not produce nuclear weapons. Okay, it doesn't say it's going to turn over all its, you know, nuclear dust, as Trump likes to call it. It doesn't say it's going to dismantle its domestic nuclear program, you know, for domestic energy. There's no negotiated cap on enrichment, just that Iran says it will agree to not produce nuclear weapons. Well, okay, the devil's in the details. What does that mean? You could produce nuclear weapons that are not quite fully assembled, you know? Like, oh, here's the warhead over there in that corner. Here's the missile over here. And then we just have to connect them. But we're not going to do that, so they're not technically nuclear weapons. You see what I mean? So the question is, again, the details. What does this mean to say that Iran won't produce nuclear weapons? And by the way, remember that it was 2 weeks ago that we had some, well, rumors, not officially confirmed, that Iran had already created nuclear weapons. And some people believe that it's because Iran already created nuclear weapons that Trump is now surrendering to Iran. Wouldn't that be interesting if that were the case? It would just prove the point of why you have to have nuclear weapons, because that's the only way to get Trump or Netanyahu to behave rationally. Because remember, the U.S. empire is agreement incapable. It is not capable of keeping its word on any agreement. This has been proven again throughout history with all the treaties, all the agreements, everything involving Europe and Russia and Ukraine, not to mention other countries around the world, and especially in the Middle East, especially involving Israel or Palestine or Gaza or Iran in particular. Whatever the U.S. agrees to, the U.S. will renege on that agreement, right? Sooner or later. That's the way the U.S. empire operates, and Trump is no different. So Iran, and by the way, I listened to several interviews with Professor Morandi, who I interviewed once recently, and he was on with, I think, Daniel Davis, and he was on with Nima, and Larry Johnson was chiming in, etc. Professor Morandi, who lives in Tehran, he says, I think correctly, that the Iranian government has zero trust of the U.S. diplomats or officials or U.S. commitments to any agreement. And of course, you can't blame them for having zero trust. I mean, I have zero trust of U.S. officials because they always lie. They always lie. And clearly, they're lying now, because it seems obvious to me that Trump just wants to announce some kind of peace deal for market manipulation reasons, right? He wants the market to blow up again. Let's have a nice stock market with all these IPOs, and let's send, you know, SpaceX stock price to the moon even before SpaceX goes to the moon. It's already been to the moon just in its IPO. So Trump wants the stock market to do well, but he doesn't actually, at least this is my guess, he doesn't actually intend on keeping any kind of commitment to any kind of lasting, legitimate peace deal with Iran. Period. And especially since Netanyahu is going to be breathing down his neck and threatening to roll out, you know, whatever Epstein files they have on him, etc. So let me put it this way. And there's more to this. There's more. But importantly, Israel has to stop bombing Lebanon and stop attacking Lebanon, period. This is actually the most important part of this from Iran's point of view. If Israel does not stop bombing Lebanon, then there is no deal, period. So all it's going to take is one bombing campaign from Israel to scuttle the whole deal before Friday. And that is almost certain to happen. There's almost a 100% chance that that happens. And Trump had previously bragged, oh, Netanyahu will do whatever I tell him to do. It seems like it's actually the other way around, though, doesn't it? Seems like Trump will do whatever Netanyahu tells him to do. Because, you know, we've seen that again and again, right? So this is going to be the final test. And what's actually kind of genius about all of this from Iran's point of view, you know, Iran has already won this round. Iran was playing 4D chess while Trump was playing checkers. Trump just got caught in a bind, and so did Netanyahu, actually. This is catastrophic for Netanyahu, because here's why. If Trump and Netanyahu honor the commitment to this memorandum, at least as it's being widely reported, then Iran wins so big. Iran remains in control of the Strait of Hormuz in perpetuity. Netanyahu has to stop bombing Lebanon. The Greater Israel Project is over. It's canceled. Iran gets tens of billions of dollars in unfrozen funds, or at least $12 billion, maybe more. Iran gets $300 billion in reparations for your commitments to reconstruction. And Iran doesn't have to give up its nuclear material, et cetera, et cetera. So if this deal holds, which I don't think will happen, but if it does hold, it is a total victory for Iran. And it puts Iran in the position of now a world power with absolute control over the Strait of Hormuz, with the U.S. Navy basically having fled the region, the U.S. Navy defeated, the U.S. military defeated, Israel defeated, Iran maintaining, not just surviving all of this, but actually now gaining control over the single most important waterway in the world, the Strait of Hormuz. Control that it did not have in January. Think about that. So the upshot of this failed war on Iran, that is Trump's failure of a war, is that it made Iran more powerful than ever before. It made Iran a world power, and it put Iran in a position where it can justify total control over the Strait of Hormuz, and it can assert its right to do so out of an important sense of survival against the attacks and assaults of the West. So that's what happens if this deal holds. If the deal doesn't hold because of Netanyahu continuing to attack Lebanon, then the entire world, it becomes very clear, the entire world sees Netanyahu as sabotaging the global economy, putting everybody at risk, destroying the one pathway to the resumption of oil flows and gas flows and fertilizer flows that are desperately needed by every country in the world, or nearly every country, including many U.S. allies like South Korea, etc., Japan, Taiwan. If Netanyahu scuttles this deal, the entire world will condemn Netanyahu and Israel. This will be the beginning of the end of Netanyahu and Israel's Greater Israel Project as it currently exists. So that's what happens if Netanyahu sabotages this deal. Once again, Iran wins, in essence, because the world sees Iran as the party that was willing to open the strait, was willing to abide by the terms of the agreement, that Iran was being constructive and rational, whereas it's Netanyahu and the Zionists who are being irrational lunatics, putting the whole world at risk. That's going to be the perception probably before Friday, I'm guessing. That's the most likely outcome. All right, there's one more outcome here, which I don't consider to be highly likely, but let's talk about it just in case it happens. It is, if Netanyahu keeps his word, which is almost, I know, like, I apologize for even stating such a sentence. But suppose Netanyahu keeps his word at least until Friday, but Trump reneges on the deal. So Trump changes his mind and finds some reason to blame Iran. Oh, Iran didn't keep their word or whatever. If that happens, then Trump gets the blame of the entire world. As long as Iran itself does not initiate a new wave of missile attacks against let's say Tel Aviv, or a new wave of missile attacks against U.S. military bases, etc. As long as Iran basically holds its fire and waits until Friday, if Trump scrubs the deal, Trump gets blamed by the entire world. The U.S. gets condemned. The U.S. gets blamed for years to come for the famine that's coming, for the energy shortages, for the industrial collapse, for the GDP collapse, you know, for the destruction of wealth globally by the trillions of dollars. Trump takes the blame in that case. But like I said before, I don't think that's the most likely outcome. I think the almost nearly certain outcome here is that Netanyahu is going to betray the peace. And he'll do it by Wednesday. You know, it's not even going to take very long. Give him a couple of days. Yeah, he'll start bombing again. Because Israel is a terror state. Let's just be frank about it. Israel is a terror state. And all that Israel knows is how to inflict terror and mass death and crimes against humanity, genocide, suffering, etc. That's all Israel knows. Israel is incapable of peace. It is incapable of recognizing the sovereign rights of any other nations other than itself. Thus, it is impossible, it's not even in the nature of Israel, to be able to honor some kind of a peace deal. And you can go back and look at Israel's history, you know, since 1967 in particular. Look at the whole history. Has Israel ever kept its word on any peace deal? No. Not once. Not once. It has always found a reason to violate it. It has always found a reason to blame somebody else. It has always found a reason to launch more attacks, to take more territory, to kill more people, even while claiming itself is always the victim. It has to self-defend its way into everybody else's territory, take their land, murder their people, bomb their churches and hospitals, and claim that it's defending itself. That is Israel's terrorist nature, and that will not change between today and Friday. Mark my words. That will not change. So I'm giving it an 80% chance that Israel sabotages this deal before Friday or on Friday. And so this understanding doesn't really get signed. Now, the one thing that Trump could do to become truly the hero of the world in this case, which I know it seems unlikely, he could cut off all U.S. support to Israel. Cut off all intelligence support, cut off all military support, cut off all financial support, period. Just declare it. Israel is a bad faith actor. Israel is a threat to the entire world. Israel is a threat to the world's economy. Israel's actions could result in the mass famine of tens of millions or even hundreds of millions of people. And because of Israel's actions, Israel's inability to honor any kind of peace, Israel is the single greatest threat to humankind. And that is true. As a result, if Trump stops all support of Israel, then Trump would be the hero. That would be a Nobel Peace Prize worthy type of action. But if he were to do that, have no illusions that Israel would threaten to eliminate him, like JFK. But that would be the one redeeming thing that Trump could do. The one pivot point of history that he could choose to invoke should be cutting off Israel completely in the interests of actual world peace. And then do the deal with Iran, pull all support from Israel, and force Israel to fight its own wars. And you know what? That would work. The strait would reopen, the oil would flow. Because you see, Iran is very capable of defending itself against Israel if it's just Israel alone. And the U.S. would just pull out all support, say, we're going home, we need to focus on our own country. And hey, Netanyahu, you're on your own. Good luck. We've already spent way too many billions of dollars on your crimes against humanity and your genocide and your, you know, your real estate ambitions, and that's over. So what do you think the chances are that Trump would do that? I put that at maybe 1%. maybe 1%. It might be more like 0.1%, but it's not zero. That's the one thing Trump could do to salvage this whole deal, all right? At least in my opinion. So, bottom line, 80% chance Netanyahu sabotages the deal, and very good chance that Trump does not cut off Israel. You know, 99.9% chance that Trump does not cut off Israel, which means the deal is off, which means the strait stays closed. And since the strait stays closed, the oil doesn't flow. The oil doesn't flow. The gas doesn't flow. The helium doesn't flow. The sulfuric acid, etc. And I know you've heard before that the oil coming out of the Persian Gulf is about 20% of the world's oil supply, right? But did you know it's almost 50% of the world's oil shipments on the sea? Did you know that? Because you see, a lot of the oil that's produced around the world is produced domestically by countries that use their own oil. You know, Russia, United States, many other countries. They use what they produce, even Canada to some extent, thanks to the Albertans, right? So of the oil that gets shipped around the world that gets delivered to Japan or South Korea or Malaysia, Bangladesh, India, whatever, the oil out of the Persian Gulf is about half of that oil, which means any country in the world that has to receive oil shipments, which also includes California, by the way, is absolutely screwed. And they will realize how screwed they are this Friday. I mean, maybe some of those countries already know they're screwed, but they just don't know how badly they're screwed. Right now, some of them are thinking, oh, this whole thing's over. It's been solved. You know, oil prices have plummeted. Peace is on the horizon. It's all great. Woo! Yeah! Wait till Friday. Wait till Friday, and they're going to realize, ruh-roh, more screwed than ever before. This war is not over. There is no peace. Netanyahu is completely out of control. He's willing to throw the entire world under the bus in order to pursue his war of genocide. And Iran is simply going to keep the Strait of Hormuz closed until its demands are met. And Iran's demands, interestingly, have not wavered. They are the same demands that they've been for, well, a couple of months now. It's like, hey, Israel has to stop bombing Lebanon. And, you know, I mean, Iran has to maintain control over the strait. The U.S. Navy has to leave. The U.S. military has to leave. Reparations have to be paid. And Iran's not giving up its nuclear materials, etc., etc. These conditions have not changed. And Iran can just sit there. It can sit there for 6 more months. And it can wait it out while the Western world burns. Because that's exactly what will happen. The Western world is going to start burning. And by that, I mean extremely catastrophic economic consequences catching on fire, spreading like fire, let's say, from country to country. That will begin in about 6 weeks. In fact, that's going to begin in 6 weeks no matter what happens, because you can't even restart all the oil shipments in 6 weeks. So I'm saying by the beginning of August, the economic consequences are going to start becoming catastrophic. And some of that's because of the, what they say, tank bottoms, the oil running out in a lot of storage facilities. Not in China, by the way. China has plenty of storage, more than anybody. And not in Russia. Russia produces more than enough for itself. But in many Western countries, the 1st of August starts to become panic time. Panic time. Transportation gets hit. Food prices, farming and agriculture get hit hard. Motor oil begins to become very scarce. California, that's when we're going to start to see diesel hitting, you know, $10 a gallon. I'm not saying August 1st, but sometime in the subsequent months, you're going to see $10 a gallon diesel in California. Almost certainly. And Iran can just sit there and wait this thing out and wait for the economic pain to become so extreme, so severe for Trump and his administration that either, and this is how this finally gets resolved, by the way. This is my prediction. Either Trump tells Netanyahu to go pound sand, or the GOP replaces Trump. Trump is forced to resign. And then you get someone like J.D. Vance in there who has a new deal or whatever. So again, either Netanyahu has to be shut down or Trump has to be removed and replaced. Those are the only two ways that this really changes, as far as I can tell. Now, maybe there's some other wild card that comes in that I haven't thought of, and I'm totally open to that because I want peace here. I want a resolution to this. I want the energy to flow again. I want the fertilizer to flow. I don't want people to starve to death all throughout 2027 because that's what's going to happen. But I can't see any mechanism that is going to just make everything flow again. Can you? Can you see any such mechanism? No. The only way this changes, as far as I can tell, is, again, either Netanyahu is stopped or Trump is stopped. Maybe Netanyahu gets arrested. Maybe he gets replaced. Maybe Trump gets impeached, removed, 25th Amendment. Maybe he's forced to resign. Who knows? Those are the only two ways that this probably ends. And, you know, in the meantime, we're probably headed for a radical stock market collapse. I know it doesn't look like it right now because we're in the, you know, woohoo, blow off top phase, you know, the FOMO phase. Everybody's thrilled. Everybody thinks they're getting rich. Yeah, we've seen this before. We know how this ends. And it's going to end. We just don't know when, but it could happen before the midterm elections. It could. I mean, the stories that I'm seeing right now of the stock market valuations and the wild stories of like low income earners, like I borrowed $5,000 from a friend to buy SpaceX stock so that I could share in the riches. Yeah, that's actually why you stay poor, because you don't know how to make good economic or financial decisions, sadly. And that's why you are in the situation you're in right now. So, you know, it's like buying a $5,000 lottery ticket, you know. And it's probably not going to pay off. Not at these valuations. Anyway, that's a completely separate topic. Bottom line, right now, be very careful. Don't have any kind of premature celebration of peace where no peace exists. Don't underestimate the ability of Netanyahu to wreck every deal. And don't dare think that Trump is in charge of Trump. He's not. He's not. Trump is a puppet of Netanyahu and the wealthy Zionist donors. And he's proven that again and again. So no. I mean, we'll check back, obviously, on Friday, but I'm certain that we don't have lasting peace on Friday. We have something completely different. We have a sabotage of this deal with, you know, 80% certainty of that. Oh, I forgot to mention one of the other pillars of this so-called agreement is that all Western sanctions against Iran selling oil are lifted, or they will be lifted if this deal happens. So imagine that. So Iran would be able to sell oil all over the world, which of course would lower oil prices dramatically. Can you imagine how all the Zionist hair would catch on fire? Mark Levin would be a giant fireball of rage, which would really be something. Might be worth tuning in to see that. Ben Shapiro, like his eyebrows would catch on fire, probably, you know. Netanyahu, who knows? He might just be engulfed in spontaneous combustion at that point. I mean, they would all be so steaming mad if Trump actually goes through with this that they couldn't even contain themselves. But this is really the best way to peace. Why shouldn't Iran be able to sell its oil? I mean, for God's sake, what right does the West have to block Iran or Russia or China from selling oil or technology or whatever, you know, or cars for that matter, in the case of China. So, you know, this arrogance of the West, where the American empire thinks that we get to run around the world and dictate to everybody, like, you can't buy oil from Russia. You know, we say that to India. You can't buy oil. And we say to China, you're not allowed to sell this. You're not allowed to buy that. And we go to Russia. You can't sell this. You can't buy that. And we have all these rules, like tens of thousands of sanction rules all over the world, because the U.S. is the bully of the world. And the U.S. has weaponized the SWIFT system and the financial system and the dollar currency, weaponized it beyond anybody's imagination. And that's wrong. That's wrong. And that should end. And in fact, the only way for the U.S. to regain credibility in the world right now would be to return to dollar neutrality, where the dollar is a currency, not a weapon. If you want the world to use the dollar, you need to stop weaponizing it. And you need to lift all these sanctions and let everybody buy and sell in the dollar. Then the dollar would be trusted as the world reserve currency once again, or at least used as a world currency. I don't know if it'll ever be trusted again, but perhaps some of that trust could be regained over time. But anyway, I don't know of any other way to describe this. If all of this happens, if the Navy withdraws, the troops withdraw, the sanctions are lifted against Iran, billions of dollars are handed over to Iran of its own money, of course, the bombing stops in Lebanon, etc., the war ends, and Iran remains in control of the Strait of Hormuz. I don't know any other way to describe that other than a total victory by Iran, a decisive victory by Iran, and a complete military loss by the United States military. There's no other way to really honestly describe that, because that's exactly what it is. The U.S. failed to achieve a single objective in this war. Couldn't achieve a single one. Didn't have regime change, that is, to put Trump's people in charge of Iran. Didn't halt Iran's nuclear program. Didn't acquire the nuclear dust. The U.S. Navy didn't gain control over the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. didn't shut off all of Iran's oil throughput capacity. I mean, on and on and on. There's literally nothing achieved by the United States of America in this other than making Iran a world power. So, yay, Trump. Oh, good job, Trumpity Trump. Trumpity Trump. Mr. Peace President, he made Iran a world power. That's the one thing that Trump will go down in history as being known for, other than, of course, the deep financial corruption of his family. But Trump will go down in history as the American president that made Iran more powerful than any other president before him. Imagine that. So, of course, I will do my best to keep you posted. And given the uncertainty of everything, it's a good idea to just, you know, be on the lookout for craziness to happen. Be on the lookout for false flags, you know, false flag terrorism, even in the U.S. Look at what Israel did to the USS Liberty. Don't put it past Israel to set off bombs in America to blame it on Iran. Yeah. That's well within their wheelhouse, you know, no question about it. Be prepared. Our sponsor, by the way, has prepared us items you may want to consider. Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. And not only do they have satellite phones, but they have solar generators and solar panels and good ways to get off-grid with some backup energy. So check them out again, SAT123.com. And one other thing, our Father's Day sale continues today. At healthrangerstore.com/fathers. So you want to take advantage of that. We've got a few items on sale. Well, actually a lot of items on sale with some bonus items. And the big Berkey water filters are back in stock now. And we've got iodine in case you're worried about things getting crazy on the nuclear front. We've got garden seeds on sale. The Arc seed kits are 30% off today. So check that out again. healthrangerstore.com/fathers. And one more thing. All week this week, we're running the free docuseries called Breaking the Chains at brightu.com. And that's myself and my co-host Todd Pittner interviewing top experts on all kinds of areas of freedom, financial decentralization and food decentralization, medicine, so much more. And we've also added a lot of new material for this year's update. It's a 2026 update of that course. And it's free to watch with registration. Just go to brightu.com. That's the word bright, followed by the letter u.com. It's short for Brighteon University. And you can watch all the episodes, one episode each day. It just goes on a repeat. And or you could purchase the whole course and download it and watch it anytime you'd like. So check that out at brightu.com. And thank you for listening. Let's see how the week goes, okay? It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. We'll see. All right, take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab-tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.